The Healthy Insights podcast features conversations with the leading minds in the field of health and well-being. Our hope is for you to gain insights, learn something new, and discover some valuable takeaways from our fascinating group of guests. Host Jim Narum is a respected leader with over 30 years of experience in the employee health and well-being field. The Healthy Insights podcast is brought to you by Asset Health, a comprehensive health and well-being services and technology provider. Asset Health's approach is based on actively cultivating the idea that your health is your most valuable asset.
Hi, everyone. This is Jim Narum, your host of the Healthy Insights podcast. This is our recap episode for Season 2. I'm joined by Charlie Esty, Senior Vice President of Strategic Partnerships, and Chris Sullivan, Director of Marketing and Strategic Initiatives, both of Asset Health. And both were co-hosts of guest episodes during our second season. I want to give a shout out to Nicole Ledoux, who co-hosted one of our guest episodes, but is unable to join us for this recap. I also want to give a special thank you to Michelle Kalker, Ryan Pierce, and Chris Sullivan for all their great work editing and promoting this podcast. I could not do this without them. And this is certainly a team effort. We had a fantastic second season of guests. In this recap episode, Charlie, Chris, and I highlight some of our best guest insights and key takeaways. Before we get started with our recap, I want you to know we're taking the rest of November and December off to enjoy the holidays and focus on our own health and well-being. We'll be back for Season 3 in January. Hi, Charlie and Chris. Thanks for joining me on this recap of Season 2.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be here with you and Chris, and congratulations to you both on really delivering another great series of podcast episodes. It's really terrific.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. It's been awesome, and I've been listening to every episode and doing some editing behind the scenes, but it's been really exciting to join the conversation in this season, and we really had some awesome guests. So
we really great. Did. So Charlie, what were some of the guest insights that stood out for you?
Well, I think the episode with Lisa Kelly was really interesting because, you know, Lisa's background is really leading the executive coaching and training for many individuals and practitioners throughout the world, but she's really focused on this executive coaching, which is somewhat new to our industry. So I was really very interested in hearing her perspective, not only how they went about engaging executives, the impact of these executives to really therefore lead a culture of success and well-being, and just her overall approach. So, you know, a couple of things that stood out was that, you know, she really has developed a program that's geared to leaders. And it's similar to what we might offer a variety of employees. I mean, it focuses on a 6-month framework with healthy eating and mastering sleep and stress, and really focusing on healthy habits. But it gave these leaders a chance to experience health and well-being firsthand. And as you both know, that's kind of the foundation. If you're to bring this out to your employees, you want the executives, not only the C-suite, but middle managers and the frontline supervisors to really understand the potential impact. So I think that episode was really helpful. It'll be helpful to not only wellness practitioners, but leaders in HR that are kind of curious, you know, how do we go about getting our executives involved in this program? But I thought she was really good. She talked about, you know, it's not easy. You don't have to be perfect. And just like in any business, there's going to be bumps in the roads, but the ultimate goal is to really stick with it and bring this program not only to the employer that you're working with, but ultimately the community. So I thought she did a really nice job. And what's also exciting is that she's released a new book in 2022, Cultivating Healthy and Vibrant Workplaces. And Chris and I had a chance to work on a chapter together for that, that focuses on, you know, the difference between high-tech wellness versus high-touch wellness. So I think Lisa's on to something exciting, and I think that's an episode that many people would enjoy listening to.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think one of my episodes, the first episode of season two was with Patty Riskin, who's the CEO of Orbita, which is a conversational AI technology organization for healthcare. And they offer virtual assistants with chatbots, text, email, voice, to really help patients navigate the healthcare system, which can really be confusing at times and not so easy. So that was really that was a great part of it. And then, you know, Patty has such a wealth of experience as an entrepreneur prior to her role with Orbita. She worked with Press Ganey and Qualtrics, which are both the customer experience organizations. And, you know, one of the things that she also shared were some leadership lessons, you know, understanding the big picture. And then, as she said, bungee jump down into the details and really understand what's working, what's not, and really emphasize the importance of listening to customers and employees and then really being confident to make and be decisive to make decisions and then see where that goes. And then I think one of the last things that really stood out for me with my conversation with Patty was that, you know, she believes that when employees feel valued and connected to the mission and vision of the organization, that employees really, they love their jobs. And I know this is also true. And then the customers, as a result, get the best that the organization has to offer. So that was really inspiring to me as well.
Yeah, that was great. I'm seeing a theme already with the high tech and the high touch. And obviously, you know, AI, conversation bots, that's all very high tech. But, you know, the ability to listen to people and respond is great. One of my favorite episodes was our interview with Talia Williams. And she's just a tremendous person and a tremendous leader from a global health and well-being standpoint with her role, you know, on international boards and also, you know, with her role leading her company from a global standpoint. And a couple insights that Talia shared that I thought were really enlightening. She mentioned that, you know, employee health and well-being, it's not just a nice to have, it's become a strategic imperative for business. And if you have a business and you want to be sustainable and successful, you need to take the health and well-being of your employees seriously. And this idea of you know, humans being able to flourish and they're the engines that makes things go in the business world. And we need to support humans in and outside of the workplace. And then also the idea that employee health and well-being is multidisciplinary. It's not simply, you know, something that can be siloed, but it touches all parts of the business. It's connected to all parts. And so we need to kind of broaden the way that we think about health and wellness and apply it to things like lifestyle benefits and diversity and inclusion efforts and safety and more. And that relationship between employer and employee is shifting. It's changing dramatically before our eyes. And, you know, we really have to listen to employees because the employees are driving a lot of this evolution. And then finally, Talia really illustrated and provided some great examples of compassionate leadership and empathy and how that is such a critical ingredient for employee well-being. The idea that employees, they're real people. They have busy, complex lives outside of work. And the employer can be there to support them in more ways than simply, you know, financially, including things like social well-being. So Talia, you know, she's uniquely informed from a global perspective, but things like empathy and compassion, those are universal. So I thought that was a really great episode.
I agree, Chris. And you know, the onset of health and well-being to flourishing, even David Wilson, our CEO, talks about life fulfillment. And it's really broad. And I think it just creates a great career path to engage different professionals and practitioners to play a role in employee health and well-being. I want to follow up on my debrief about Lisa and talk a little bit about Jane Rupert, who really is a longtime leader in health coaching, not so much for the executive participation, but the broad employee base. And she has such a vast array of experiences from, you know, working with individuals with chronic illness to health coaching, and today really focusing on how health coaching can impact metabolic health and working with medications. But one of the great things about the episode is that she was very clear of the process and the requirements of, you know, what really generates a great health coaching experience. And she talked about, you know, the systems, having a platform that's required to communicate with participants and track measures, how the service is being delivered, to engagement and goals, and all the way down to having data for your billings. If you're going to provide a health coaching services and you need to track and bill clients for that, how do you go about that? I thought she shared some great insights. But she also talked about what she looks for. And I was really impressed with, you know, right out of the gate, she likes to conduct a video consultation to observe the candidate for the position of health coaching. Do they have an ability to establish a rapport with the participants? Are they able to connect? Do they have an appreciation for the culture that employee works in? And just being aware of the audience is important. And then the last two points, she went on to talk about ongoing training and really helping coaches stay vibrant and understand the organization's goals, training skills such as active listening and reflection, also the cultural and spiritual considerations as well. But I think that's important because coaches, you know, that's a tough assignment and they need to be inspired for their own professional growth. And then to wrap up, her three takeaways is really, you know, understanding what health coaching is and what it's not. You know, they're not diagnosing. And to be clear with the organizations that they're serving, why do they want to offer health coaching? Is it to improve health and impact medical spend? Maybe that sponsoring employer wants to be employer of choice. So it's just extending out care and compassion to the employees. And then lastly, she talked about the role of technology, as I mentioned right at the start, that really helps us in terms of our systems and process, as well as staying in touch with these individuals throughout the day and throughout the year, and whether that's through nudges or texting or using apps. She didn't mention, but I think it ties in, you know, some of BJ Fogg out of Stanford University, his latest research is on prompting, using prompts. So in closing, I thought Jane did a great job. And I think that wellness practitioners or health coaches would really benefit from circling back and hearing her perspective on health coaching.
Yeah. And one of the things that really impressed me when that conversation with Jane Rupert is how much in her role at Calibrate, how many health coaches they're hiring and training and creating that quality experience. You know, their growth is just off the charts. And so that's really exciting for Jane and also the industry as well. And so I also had a great conversation with Colin Milner, whom I'm known for many years. Colin is the CEO of the International Council of Active Aging. So he was speaking to me, as someone that's a little later in my career, and just some of the things that Colin is working for, towards for the last 20 years. Is really, helping change the way we age to be healthier longer so that we can live better is one of the things that really stood out for me. And Colin's organization supports 10,000 organizations in 57 countries to help their customers who are focused on the active aging market to really help them achieve their goals. And so that was impressing. He did say that we are aging better than we were 30 years ago. So we are living healthier, longer. And one of the things that he also said that really stood out for me, and I had to ask him about it again, because he said individuals that are 50 plus control 70% of disposable income. So just think about that. That's a pretty incredible statistic there. And then one of the other things that we talked about is just you know, the potential for empowering older workers to work longer to really help meet some of the labor needs of organizations, and encouraging employers to kind of think about that as an important strategy.
Yeah, that was an amazing and really interesting episode, I think, and relevant to people of all ages, because, you know, we're all getting older. You can run, but you can't hide. I think that was a great quote from that episode. And another one that really resonated with me was our interview with David Hay. And David has been a leader for decades in the behavioral and mental health space, and you know, for nearly 40 years. And it's funny, the year I was born, and I'm no spring chicken anymore. That was the year that David founded his consulting practice. So, you know, he has just a wealth of experience, and a couple just really interesting ideas that he shared. He really dove into and broke down and addressed this distinction that we've created between medical care and behavioral health care, and how we've really compartmentalized and siloed physical health and mental health. And that mind-body problem, so to speak, that's something that humans have wrestled with forever. You know, I don't want to get too deep into it, but going back to the, you know, the 17th century French philosopher Descartes, who, you know, proposed the idea of mind-body dualism, and going through the years, we've kind of fallen into this healthcare system that totally separates the mind and the body and treats them very distinctly. But the reality is there's a deep intrinsic connection there. And so many physical health conditions have comorbid mental and behavioral health conditions. And David really, in that episode, he summed up this artificial distinction and the need to break free from it. And, you know, I think he said, no human is just a mind. No human is just a body. Every human is a body and a mind. And so this idea of whole person well-being, this interconnected, interrelated physical and mental health is, I think, paramount to how we approach health and wellness going forward. And then building on that, David really tackled the need to destigmatize mental illness. And you think about it, when someone breaks a bone, we don't ignore the symptoms and say, you know, just suck it up and keep going. But we kind of sometimes take that approach with mental illness, you know, in mild forms. But we have to do more than just acknowledge it. We have to appreciate that it impacts everyone. It's part of being human. And David really articulated that we have a long way to go in this regard. And then thirdly, David really helped me to understand, you know, just what is mental health. And it's more than just the absence of mental illness. It's actually a state of mental vitality. It's something that we can work on. It's something that we can strive for. We can talk about. We can deploy tactics like resilience and mindfulness and gratitude, esteem, and together try to build a sense of a social belonging, which is critical to mental health. But I thought that was such a relevant and timely episode and interview, but it's something that David has been talking about for years. So I thought that was really cool.
Chris, when you reflected on the body mind, you know, when you think of the YMCA in the United States, their three principles were body, mind, spirit. And we're beginning to see that a little bit more in the workplace, whether it's body, mind, performance, body, mind, whatever. Do you see the faith-based component coming into the employer market at all? Or is it still outside the box, so to speak?
I think it's still a little outside the box, but I think people are beginning to appreciate and businesses are beginning to appreciate that. And this is going back to Talia's episode as well. You know, people are really unique, special beings that are more than just physical cogs in a machine. Mm-hmm. And we need to not just, you know, appreciate and acknowledge and understand their physical health, but be aware of spiritual and mental health. And those three are very much interconnected.
Yeah. Well, that kind of tees up my last segment I wanted to talk about with Chuck Gillespie, who, you know, has a great background. He came out of the human resources space. He provided leadership for the Wellness Council of Indiana for a number of years, and now is the CEO of the National Wellness Institute. And Chuck really was excited to be on the show. It was great energy. He talked a lot about, you know, the role of NWI and their goal to be the worldwide voice in the wellness community. But specifically, he hit on five domains of wellness. Number one, the importance of legal and ethical compliance. Number two, being authentic. You know, it's okay to be normal, but be sensitive to the environment that you're practicing and delivering wellness. He addressed the whole person approach, which is something very near and dear to our heart at Acid Health. And beyond physical, mental, emotional, financial, and social, he talked about career as being a key component to that whole person. And I think that's also true with some of the Gallup study work, that career is an important aspect of our whole person. And it's something that we may want to lean into as wellness practitioners. The fourth one was being inclusive and being responsive in your practices so that it's really a multi-dimensional, multicultural approach. And to have that lens of, you know, who are we serving, and whether it's urban or rural or employees from different parts of the world or backgrounds. Really interesting when you think about how different people view their health and how they want to engage with health promotion and wellness. And then the last one, and Chuck noted, maybe the most important is the communication strategy and having a connection. Now, I'll quote Chuck, he said, "I'll take a great communication over any other component, because if people don't know what you're doing and how you're offering it or where you're offering it, they're not going to participate." So I thought he had some great insights. He talked about the importance of credentials and all the certifications and certificate programs that NWI provides. But he also noted that in addition to being certified, is have a specialty, become very good at certain things. And I think that was true when I think back to my career. It was important to have team members that really were expert in the area of diabetes or musculoskeletal conditions. Some people were better understanding working with faculty, staff, and students in a campus community. But just finally, he ended up that I think the direction of the National Wellness Institute is really going to have a deeper focus on a new habit series. And I'm excited to see what comes forth with that as well, because again, breaking bad habits, embracing new habits are really core to what we're about in helping individuals enhance their health and quality of life.
Yeah, I think we had a great conversation with Chuck, and the National Wellness Institute is doing some great things. I think our last guest that we haven't talked about was one that I had such a great time with Gigi McKinney Banks, who worked for the Minnesota Vikings for a total of 25 years. The last 13 She was the director of food service operations, but as she mentioned, she started out, and the Vikings were one of the first NFL teams to establish a on-site cafeteria. And it started very humbly. She stated that she started out as she was the salad bar gal, and then worked very hard. Sometimes up to 17 hours a day, helping feed the NFL team from the Vikings towards peak performance. But really, then established and became the first African-American woman to do what she did in the NFL. So very proud of that. She shared some stories of a couple of games that the Vikings played overseas in London and some of the challenges and opportunities and kind of funny stories along with that too. And then she is now focused on founding a nonprofit called Culinary Artworks Inc. and that is focused on helping youth cook healthy and make healthy eating choices. So she's in the process of starting that out, and very inspirational. And had a fun conversation with her as well.
That was an amazing episode. I love that as a washed up former Division III football player. It was so cool to hear some insights into an NFL kitchen. I wish I'd listened to that episode in college. Maybe I would have eaten something besides ramen noodles. But I was pretty much the opposite of what you would call peak performance.
It's interesting when you think back when she got started and, she was the salad bar lady. My brother-in-law was an assistant coach, I think, when she was there. But the truth is, back in the early 90s, these NFL teams looked at nutrition and even strength and conditioning as like, is that a career for real? And then you look today, how these athletes in the NFL, like Russell Wilson, I read a report, he spends $1 million a year on his personal training, his nutrition, everything. I'm wondering if one day employers will view nutrition and health and fitness and performance for their own employees, the way the NFL has evolved to really recognizing it. Because there was a time in the National Football League, they just thought that's a waste of money. And yet today they've embraced it. So it is about performance. It's about feeling better. And it's that whole person approach all the way around.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that Gigi shared was I asked her, well, what are some easy, simple things that people can, that anybody can do to cook, to be healthy? And she shared some examples of that. And I think that's really, everybody really wants to achieve peak performance. You don't have to be an NFL professional mm-hmm. football player to do that. But in any walk of life, you want to eat healthy and for your peak performance.
So true.
So thanks guys. This was great. We had a great season too. Looking forward, we're going to take a little break for the holidays to focus on our own health and well-being, and then be back in January for the start of season 3. I'm not giving anything away, but boy, we've got some great season 3 guests lined up, and a little teaser there, but looking forward to continuing on in the new year.
Thanks so much, Jim. This was a really fun season, and I think we broke away a little bit from strictly talking about employee wellness, and that was fun. Mm-hmm. And as we wrap up the season, I think a couple themes to reflect on are optimism and gratitude, especially as we head into Thanksgiving week. So thanks again. It was awesome.
Thank you, Jim and Chris. All the best. Keep up the good work.
Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app or player. We also encourage you to rate this podcast. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.